Amen. Let's stand together while you're right there, for just a moment. Let's bow our heads together. I'm telling you, God is so good to all of us. The Christian life is not to be endured. It is to be enjoyed. He came that we might have life and that we might have it more abundantly. He said, these things have I spoken that your joy might be full. He wants us to have joy and victory in our life, and we can have it. The only thing that will rob it from us is sin in our life, our lack of commitment to him, and our not praying and seeking his face like we ought to, or spending time in his book, or acts of disobedience. Now I'm praying that God the Holy Ghost in these few days of us meeting will do something in my heart and the heart of all of you. Will you bow with me for prayer? Father, I want to thank you that God, we one day will see you face to face. Thank you one day that God, that we'll be changed. Our mortal bodies will put on immortality. This corruption will put on incorruption. Those of our loved ones, our Father, at the rapture will be resurrected and have a brand new body like unto your glorious body. And we in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, be changed and be caught up together to meet them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air. And God, I pray, God, that until then, God, we might live a life of victory and joy. Help us to be a witness for Christ. I pray, God, that, Lord, that we would have that Christian distinctive, that we would love you with all of our heart, mind, and soul, and we'd love the brethren. God, I pray, God, for your power. I pray, God, that you'd move in my heart and life this morning. Thank you for letting me be here. Thank you for the awesome singing of the choir, the congregation this morning, Brother Danny, just now. And I pray, God, you speak to our hearts, and we'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you so much for being here today. Welcome to all our friends in the internet and the radio audience today. We're glad you're part of the services from Benson Grove Baptist Church, and we trust the Lord will bless you for being a part of the service. And hope to get to speak to several of you here in the building and get to greet everybody this morning. But before we leave today, maybe I have opportunity to do that. Thank you again for being here. I want you to find a passage of scripture in the Old Testament. Find the book of Hosea. Now, anytime I have anybody, if I'm somewhere else and they're preaching on one of the minor prophets, I panic because I know everybody's looking at the preacher because they want to follow him to help find it, and I can't find them half the time. So let me tell you what to do. Open your Bible. It's going to open right in the middle somewhere close to either Psalms or Isaiah or Jeremiah. If you get to that, take a right. Okay, if you get there, if you go right on now, on past Jeremiah, and then you'll go past the book of Lamentations, then the book of Ezekiel, and then very quickly now, you're coming up on a book that I'm going to want you to read. You'll come to the book of Daniel, and then right after Daniel is Hosea. Now, some of you already been there for a while, but it's right after the big book of Daniel, the what they call the major prophets of the Old Testament. Thing minor about the 12 minor prophets is the length of their prophecies, not their message. Amen. It's real. And I'm going to read a text here in a moment, but I wanted you to find that first because I knew that'd be a little more difficult for you. And when you found that, then I want you to hold your place or either put a paper there and go to the book of 1 John, because I will come back to the book of Hosea in just a few minutes. Tonight, Brother Jesse Brock's going to be here. Brother Jesse is, of course, pastor over at Burnell. He was with us some time ago, and I thought God really used him. And I knew a couple of weeks ago, that Brother Randy may not get to come. And as I was praying, Brother Jesse is one of the first persons came to my mind. And I thank God we'll use him. I believe, know with all my heart tonight, God's going to have a touch on him. And we're looking for God to speak to us. Amen. Not a man, but God. Same way this morning. And then Brother Nathaniel Inslee was already going to be home for a while. His mom and dad celebrated 50th anniversary yesterday. And he's preaching at 5 other churches while he's here. Well, he was just going to visit with us on Monday night because of he wanted to hear Brother Randy. And then he's flying out from RDU Tuesday morning. And so, but he's going to preach for us on Monday night. And then Tuesday and Wednesday night, Brother Scott Matthews will be here. His family's going to be with him. It's going to be great. I want you to be a part of it. Brad, I have great singing for us each night as well. But I want you to come. I'm telling you right now, these are crucial days. Did you know that the cults in America are growing rapidly? Islam in America is growing rapidly. Right now, they're making preparation, probably already beginning, to build the largest mosque in America. One of the largest Muslim mosques in the world is going to be built in Maryland, just outside of Washington, D.C. I'm going to tell you right now, we are in a situation right now, you are living in the last days. Jesus Christ is coming again. The spirit of Antichrist, mentioned in the book of, turn to 1 John, did I tell you to turn there? I'm going to hook up with 1 John and tie it to Hosea in a few minutes. But here, he says in these last days, he said, I want you to understand something. He said, the spirit of Antichrist is already in the world, but it will accelerate in the last days. And you and I, what we see here now in America, doesn't need normal Christianity. Doesn't need just average church folk who come on Sunday morning. If you're going to live and function until Jesus comes, we need a supernatural visitation from a holy God. If we're going to make any kind of impression or impact on this world, it must not be religion. It has to be revival. And we need God. I need God. And I go to these places and I preach, and I know that God needs to move in that place. And yet I find so many places there's such a sense of complacency. And that is, of course, in parallel with the prophecy in the book of Revelation where he gives the seven churches a revelation. And the first church, Ephesus, he said, you've left your first love. And then all the other indictments against all those other churches. And the last one, which pictures especially our age, the church at Laodicea, it is the church of lukewarmness. He said, you're neither hot nor cold, therefore I'll spew you out of my mouth. We just kind of mellowed out. We just think we're going to coast out of here. We're not going to coast out of here. It's going to be an awful time. And we need God to help us and give us revival that we might see people saved. And it is possible it's going on in other places of the world. Let's pray that God would visit with us. And I'm going to ask you that just as if your nation and your family depended on what you do in the next 3 days, that you give attention to the things of God. Come be in revival. And I believe God is going to meet with us. I hope you'll be here. Now look in 1 John. Let me read. In the pew in front of you, before I read, Miss Trudy has placed some white cards or papers. I want to make sure you can see those and make sure you've got a pen, because before we leave today, you're going to need that. And I want you to be ready for it. So make sure you see that. They're right near you. And if you have people around you, they don't have one, you'll help me to distribute them right at the close of the service as we do this. And then we'll take a love offering for Brother Randy before we leave this morning. Please keep him and Miss Mary in your prayers. They wanted desperately to be here. He talked about trying to get somebody maybe to drive him up here and him just be here for the Sunday service, but he's just not able to travel. So you ask God to bless him. Now, in 1 John, reading very, by now, I hope, very familiar passage of Scripture to you. And in 1 John, look at chapter 1. These verses that I've read repetitiously to you over the last several weeks. You say, well, Brother Billy, there's more in the Bible than this. But I want it to get in our heart. God continues to lead my heart that way. I want to read verse 9, and I'm going to read through verse 9. Then I'm going to read three other passages in John, and then I'm going to go back to Hosea. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Look over in chapter 3. Behold, what manner of love the Father bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. I'm reading verse 1. Therefore, the world knoweth us not because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Here's the point of emphasis for the message this morning. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure. Now, let me encourage you to think seriously about that verse. If I were to ask you who are saved, know anything at all about the Bible, if you believe Jesus is coming again, you would, without doubt, everyone raise your hand and say, absolutely. Do you have that hope in you? That hope that Jesus is coming again? Well, now he says that hope equates this. He that hath that hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure. Those who have that real genuine expectancy that Christ is coming want to be clean. They want to have revival in their heart. They want to be just as close as they can get to him. They want to be just as pure as he's pure. And if you have that genuine hope inside of you, that's your desire today. And if we confess our sins, he's faithful just to forgive us and to cleanse us. If we have that hope in us, we want to be clean. If you don't have a desire to be clean, then you don't really believe he's coming again. But I promise you, he is. I pray God to make that real to us, that you have a personal accountability before God to be right with him and have fellowship with him. Then go over with me, please, to chapter number 5 and look at verse number 10. Chapter 5, verse 10. He that believeth on the Son hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave his Son. And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God shall not see life. These things have I written in you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you might know that ye have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. Now watch this. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desire of him. What awesome verses God's laid on our heart. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If you believe that Jesus Christ is coming again, you really want to be clean. If you believe that Jesus Christ is coming again and you're willing to confess your sin, then he makes this promise. You'll know that he hears and he answers your prayer. And what's lacking in our lives is effective prayer life. I share testimony about Jason, and I know it'll be repeated and it'll be more real when it's by Jason and some of the family. But what took place there in the hospital, the doctors really couldn't explain all the sequence of events. Perry told me that the doctor said, I can't explain to you why things happened like they did. But Perry said, I think it was probably a God thing. And the doctor said, I think it was too. God can do miraculous things. God can intervene. But we need to have that desire to be clean, and we must be willing to confess, and then we'll see effectiveness in our prayer life. I want you to go back to the book of Hosea now. Go back to Hosea, and let me read this to you. We are praying that God would send revival. I would love to see, as Brad mentioned a while ago, this church house filled. There's not one legitimate reason, unless you're working this week, that you couldn't be in services this week. If they were to blow up another twin tower somewhere, we'd probably have a big crowd tonight and on Monday night as well. But I'm telling you, it's just that crucial. What's going on in America and what we need as a church, we need revival. Listen to what he says in the book of Hosea, and I'll read this last chapter, Hosea chapter 14. I'm sorry, I didn't give you the text. Hosea chapter 14, the very last chapter in the book of Hosea, these 9 verses. Nine, by the way, is the fruit of the Spirit. No connection there, probably, other than the fact that if you want revival, you got to have the Holy Ghost to do it. In John and Hosea chapter 14, look at verse 1. O Israel, return unto the Lord thy God, for thou hast fallen by thy iniquity. Take with thee words and turn to the Lord and say unto him, take away our iniquity and receive us graciously so that we render the calves of our lips. Asher shall not save us. We will not ride upon horses. Neither will we say any more to the works of our hands, ye are our gods. For in thee the fatherless find mercy. I will heal their backslidings. I will love them freely. For mine anger is turned away from them. I will be as the dew unto Israel. He shall grow as the lily and cast forth his roots as Lebanon. His branches shall spread, and his beauty shall be as the olive tree, and his smell as Lebanon. They that dwell under his shadow shall return. They shall revive as the corn and grow as the vine. The scent thereof shall be the wine of Lebanon. Ephraim shall say, what have I to do any more with idols? I have heard him and observed him. I am like a green fir tree. From me is thy fruit found. Who is wise? He shall understand these things. Prudent, and he shall know them. For the ways of the Lord are right, and the just shall walk in them, and the transgressor shall fall therein. Will you bow with me for prayer one more time? I want you to pray for me that God will help you today. God has a word for us. He says to Israel, turn to me. Return to me. Take words with you. And then he talks about their confession and their acknowledgement. And then he makes promises to them that he'll cleanse them, he'll renew them, he'll revive them, he'll be like the dew. They will turn from idols, and there'll be great fruitfulness. That's revival. That's what God wants us to have in the hour we're living in. He wants us to experience that. And I pray God to help us now. Lord, I pray God that you touch, Lord, what I need physically this morning. I pray, God, that you touch your people, not by might nor by power, but by thy Spirit, saith the Lord. I pray the Holy Ghost of God would breathe on us here now. God, I want to thank you for loving us, for giving us everlasting life. And our Father, there's not one Christian in here who would not testify that the greatest joy they've known on this earth is when they knew that they were saved and they were walking in the Spirit. And our Father, there's nothing so sad as a Christian who's not close to you. Our Father, when we're not right with you. But God, I pray that you'd send revival. God, do something here today among your people. Our Father, I want to bow before you and confess there's no good thing in me. God, I want to thank you for the fact that I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And I pray now that God, the Holy Ghost, would manifest Christ and God, speak to your people. I love them, but God, you love them greater, far more than I could ever love them. God, I want to see revival. I want to see this church house filled with people rejoicing in the Lord and weeping their way to Calvary and others getting right with God and others bringing souls that they have been saved. And God, I know that you want that. I pray, God, that you'd move here in this place. God, have your way now, and I'll thank you and praise you and give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen. God loved the church. The Bible says Christ loved the church and he died for it. He gave his life that we might have life. He loved us and he didn't, that's not an end with a period behind it. It's not the end thing. I don't know if I can do that. Praise God, I'm getting all kind of help around here. Thank you, Brother JC. Amen. Thank you. Amen. He loves us. He wants us to love him. And that's the picture of Christ and his church is a love relationship. And there's nothing like being in love. Nothing like being in love. It affects you in every area of your life. And more than anything, it changes your whole outlook on life. I mean, listen, when you're really in love, it's a wonderful thing. And Christ loved us when we were living in fellowship with him. We live a life of joy. We live a life of peace. A life of enjoyment. We enjoy his presence and we are encouraged in his word. We are empowered by the Holy Spirit. When we're right with him, I mean, everything's good. When you read this Bible, it comes alive to you. It blesses you and you weep at times and sometimes you rejoice. And nothing like being right with God. But on the other hand, when you're not in fellowship with him and you're out of fellowship, it's a place of dullness. It's a place of discontent. It's a place of defilement. And it is a place, my dear friend, of deadness. We want to have revival. We want God to move. We don't want to be lukewarm. We want to be close to him. Here in the book of Hosea is this wonderful story. I don't know if you've read the book of Hosea. Many of you may be familiar with the story. Hosea is a prophet of God. And God says to Hosea, you go take a woman of whoredom, make her your wife. A woman with a bad reputation. And the preacher went and married her. And he's showing Israel his love for them. And so the preacher marries this woman. And you say, brother, didn't that ruin his reputation? No more than it did Christ when he loved us. The Bible said he came into the world and he made himself of no reputation. A holy God in whose no darkness at all clothed himself in human flesh and became a friend of sinners. Oh, they pointed fingers at him, make accusations at him, and called him everything in the world, from a wine-bibber to a false prophet. Had no reputation among the world, but he gave himself for us. He gave his life for us because he loved us, and he wanted us to have it. But Hosea was an Old Testament picture of that love. And so he takes this woman to be his wife, and she has three children. They all have unique names. But in the uniqueness of their name, he pictures the unfaithfulness of Israel. One of the children was named Not My Children or Not My Child. In other words, she'd played the harlot. She'd been unfaithful to him. And that child conceived in her womb was not by the preacher, by somebody else. She got so bad, she left the babies. She left the preacher. And she went out and she lived a life of prostitution. She lived a wicked life. And God said to Hosea, I want you to go buy her back. You see, after she was used up and all of her beauty was gone, nobody really wanted her. They stripped her naked and set her down in the middle of the market and sold her as a household slave. Who would bid on her whose body was so vile and defiled? The preacher walked out in the middle of the crowd, and I believe it was 20 pieces of silver he paid for her. He bought her back and took her home. Oh, what love he had for her. Oh, what love he demonstrated for her. And God said, that's my love for you, Israel. I love you like that. You've played the harlot, but I love you, and I'll take you back. That's what we come to near the end of this book. He's telling them what they need to do now in response to that kind of love. What do we need to do? Look what he said. He said, return unto the Lord thy God, and from which thou return unto the Lord thy God, for thou hast fallen by thine iniquity. Verse 2, take with thee words. And then he tells them, they come, they say, take away our iniquity, do this thing. I was interested in what kind of words would you take to him this morning? If you knew your situation, knowing like you are, if you believed that if you had confidence that if you asked him, he would answer your prayer that I read to you in 1 John, what word would you say to him? What would you say? Sometimes we don't know how to pray as we ought. The Holy Ghost of God, help us. But what kind of word would you take to him? My time's already gone. I can't believe that. Can I give you this real quick? We need it. We really need it. Number one, you must take to him, first of all, words of adoration. I don't care what kind of shape you're in. You say, Brother Billy, I'm so cold. I'm backslid. I know I'm not right with God. I'm not where I ought to be. I don't have any right to praise him. Oh, yeah, you do. He's worthy of our praise regardless of what's going on in our life. And the first thing you do, here's what Jesus said. Here's how you pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. You come to him this morning. First thing you say, God, I love you. And God, you're holy. God, you know my heart. But God, you're holy. You're merciful. You're full of grace. You have all power. You're God. I acknowledge that this morning. A word of adoration. But then you must take words of repentance. He said in this passage of scripture to them, when you take words, you say, notice, say unto him, take away all iniquity and receive us graciously, so will we render the calves of our lips. You take with him words of repentance and confession. He said in 1 John, if you confess your sin, he's faithful just forgiving to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. I'm talking about the sin in your life of complacency, of lukewarmness. Maybe you, what we would call vile sins or the moral sins and those type of sins, maybe you wouldn't say you're guilty of that. But do you love him with a fervent, hot heart? Do you love him with all of your heart? Have you done what he wanted you to do in every area of your life? Have you been faithful to him? Is there in you right now a sense of coldness and darkness that you know something's not right? If something's not right, it's not him, because he's altogether beautiful. He's holy. And whatever's in our life that's not right needs to be corrected. And we need to take to him words of repentance. Now, what kind of words do we take to him in repentance? He said in 1 John, if we confess our sins, plural, you commit your sins individually, gossip or lying, cheating, stealing, lust. And when you confess as a believer, you need to acknowledge those sins. It may be prayerlessness, maybe lack of Bible reading. You may have been unfaithful to the house of God. You may have been robbing God of tithes and offerings. Whatever it is, you know what it is. And the Holy Ghost of God is speaking to your heart even now. You know you're not where you ought to be. Perhaps you have harbored lust in your heart, maybe an unforgiving spirit, maybe bitterness. He said you have to be careful. You can't let a root of bitterness get in you because it will spread. It'll go all the way through your body. You have to get every bit of that out. And he said if you'll bring words with you, if you bring words and you acknowledge this sin and that sin and confess it, he said, I'll forgive it. I'll forgive it. And he said, I'll wash you and you'll be clean. You and I need to take not only words of adoration and word of repentance, but we need to take words of yieldedness. Here's what we need to say. When we come to him, we yield to him and we confess our sins. And then here's what we say. Will he say, Lord, not my will, but thine be done. Say like Isaiah, here am I, send me. I'm willing to do whatever you want me to do. I'm willing to do. If you'll get honest with God, if you'll take words of adoration and glorify him, if you'll get honest with God and take words of confession and repentance, if you'll get honest with God and say, God, I want you to have your will in my life. I'll do whatever you want me to do, and then trust him. I guarantee you God will do something. But you must also, I believe, after having done those, you must take words of pleading. Throughout the Old Testament, you'll find where the men of God, the prophets, were pleading for their people. They were pleading that God would get glory. They were pleading for the power of God, but they were pleading for supernatural revival, praying that God would move supernaturally, that God would show himself to be God, that God would bear his arm in battle. My dear friend, having confessed our sin and yielded to him, we need to plead with him for revival. Pray God to move. I've read about him. I've heard about him. I've experienced little touches of it. But oh, I'd love to see God move in real revival. And then if his people will call on him, he said he'd do that. You must take words of intercession with you. Pray for others. But this week I preached up there and I talked about Jesus being our advocate, and he's pleading with us, pleading for us before the Father. He's calling our name every day. The Bible said he ever lives to make intercession for us. He's calling your name right now. And my dear friend, if God's calling our name, you ought to be calling the name of your family. Call them by name and ask God to save them. Ask God to send revival in their life. Ask God to reclaim them. And then I think you ought to take words of thanksgiving and thank him that he hears you. The Lord Jesus Christ, praying to the Father, said, Father, I know that thou hearest me. He acknowledged the fact and thanked him for hearing his prayer. The Bible said, we don't not be anxious for anything, but in prayer and supplication, make your requests known to God with thanksgiving. We'll always start with adoration of God and always end with thanksgiving that God heard our prayer. I'm telling you, God could do supernatural things. How many of you in here, don't raise your hand, but you'd love to see every one of your family members right with God. You'd love to see every one of your family members in church and serving the Lord. You'd love to see them enjoying the blessed benefits of what God's got for them. And your heart aches for that. I'm going to tell you, the answer is we've got to pray and seek God for revival. When God moves in Holy Ghost power, it'll change. It'll make so effective our prayers. It'll change the whole atmosphere around here. I'm asking you to pray. Now, here's what I want you to do. He said, take words with you. There's a piece of paper right near you there. I'm going to ask everybody, visitors, guests, anybody, I want you to do this for me. I'm going to get you to do a couple of things with the paper. I think it should be understood that you're not looking what anybody else is doing. I want you to take a piece of paper, make sure everybody's got a piece of paper. Everybody's got a pen. And on the back, on one side of that paper, I'm going to have you write just one word. Are you as close to God right now as you've ever been? And are you as close to God as you need to be? Yes or no? One word. You either write, yes, I'm as close to God as I've ever been, and I don't need to be any closer. Or no, I'm not as close to God as I have been, and no, I'm not where I ought to be. Write it quickly and turn it over. You're not writing your name on anything. On the other side, I don't know what God leads you to write, but I want you to take words with you. I gave you some ideas, words of thanksgiving, or words of adoration to God. God, you're God. I believe you're powerful, all powerful. I believe you can do anything. But words of repentance. What is it that God the Holy Ghost may have put his finger on, or is putting his finger on right now, that you need to get clean over? Whatever it is, that's personal, private, covered up. Nobody else needs to see it. But will you write a word? Prayerlessness, lust, unfaithfulness to God, whatever. I'm asking you to let God really speak to your heart and write that. Words of yieldedness. Not my will, but thine be done. God, I'm putting on this paper that before God, I want to do your will, whatever it is. Words of pleading for revival. What would you love to see God do in a supernatural way in your church and in this community? Words of intercession, the names of people you've got a burden for. And then a note of thanksgiving at the bottom. I want us to have a moment here. Miss Brenda, I know you're probably writing too. I trust that you are, but I'd like to have you come to the piano. And if you could just play something very softly for a few moments. I don't want you to take this lightly. God, the Holy Ghost is here. And just something about putting it down in black and white that I think would make it very real to us. That if we would stand before the judgment seat of Christ today and he were to say to us, are you just as close to me as you've ever been? And are you as close to me as you ought to be? Yes or no? We've already written that. And then on the other side, he said this, if we confess our sin, he's faithful just to forgive us and to cleanse us, and we can have fruitfulness as well as revival. I didn't get into all that. I didn't have time. But if we'll do what he asked us to do, I promise you, he is faithful and just to do what he said. He will forgive you. He'll cleanse you. He'll fill you. He'll use you. He'll send revival. If there's a nucleus of people or the body of Christ to get right with him, I'm giving you a few minutes. You may have to finish the process at the house, but I want you to have on the paper there some words and maybe some names. Nobody will see it but you. And if you need to, if you want to fold it in such a way that nobody sees any of it, that's fine. Here's what I want us to do. I'd like for everybody in the building to stand together. And I'm going to ask you to do something. I want us to come to the altar, just like we take out 30 pieces of silver offering. I'm asking nobody to leave the building right now. I'm talking about being real serious with God right now and want revival, want God to do something real in our life. For Christ to be manifest in us and to know the real joy of salvation and the power of his resurrection, to have a great spirit of revival, have a great spirit of rejoicing, the presence of God real. Here's what I'd like for us to do now. Will you bow your heads in prayer? You got your paper? I'm going to pray. Miss Brenda's just going to play. I want you to come anywhere around this altar and you can tarry and pray, or you can just come and lay your prayer request or your whatever on this altar around here, up on the platform, across the steps, and then make your way back to your seat. Asking everybody that will to participate. I'm going to tell you, I believe God's going to do something. So right now, while folk are coming, you come on, just leave it and go back to your sweet seat quietly while we pray. Blessed Lord Jesus, I want to thank you, God, for all you've done for us in this place, this land, this building, as a testimony that, God, you're able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we are able to ask or think. And, God, you did it miraculously, but you used people. And, God, if we're going to see revival, you do it miraculously through your power, but you choose to use people. God, I want to be one of those people. God, I don't want to have anything between my soul and the Savior. I don't want to have aught against a brother. I want to be right with every individual, right with God. I want to have the power and the presence of God. And God, I pray the Holy Ghost of God would move in the lives of your people. God, there are people bringing their confessions, their pleadings, their intercession. God, I pray you'd hear and answer prayer. I pray for family members that they are praying for. I pray, God, that, Lord, the Holy Ghost would draw them by your grace. God, lay it on our hearts to call and contact and visit, sow the seed. God, to give word of encouragement, and God, and get people to come and be in the services tonight and Monday night and Tuesday night and Wednesday night. But God, I pray that what you're going to do, our Father, will radically change our church from now to Jesus comes. I pray, God, that there'll be a continual flow of the Holy Ghost of God through this place. And our Father, we'll be a lighthouse and a beacon. Lord, that Christ will be glorified, that you'll get all the honor and glory, that God, we can magnify your name and people will know that Christ has done this. God, I pray you'd move. Giving you time for everybody to take words. Take words. You brought it to a physical location. But he says in the book of Hebrews that we can boldly come to the throne of grace. And I want you right now in your heart to picture the fact that you've come to the throne of God's grace. He said, I will have mercy on them. I will take away their iniquity. I will cleanse them. I will be the dew. I will bless them. They'll become fruitful. We're going to believe God for that right now. Oh, God, do that. God, do it in our heart and life. Do it in me, in all of this church. And God, we're going to thank you and give you praise and glory. We love you. God, thank you for your people. And I pray the sweet Holy Ghost of God would birth in us, Lord, great joy, unspeakable and full of glory. Nothing like being close to you and right with you. But God, I pray we'll not have rest until we rest in Jesus, till we have real union with you. Allow Christ to live in us and magnify himself through us. God, don't let us lock a room of our life. Don't let him just have part of us, but God, let him have all of us. Full sway and full control. God, send revival. Oh, God, I pray, God, that you'd visit us with supernatural visitation. God, help me to be faithful to do all I'm supposed to do. Help all my friends to do all they're supposed to do in phone calling and praying and visiting and passing out tracts and inviting people and bringing people. But God, we're trusting you to do the work. God, you're the one, you're the only one that can accomplish what needs to be done here. God, you do it for us. God, get your glory out of it. All the glory. We don't need any. We don't want any. We don't deserve any. But God, you get all the glory. God, do it yourself. And God, get glory for yourself. And we'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Now, while Miss Brenda continues to play, if you will, if you'll make your way back to your seats and Miss Brenda's continuing to play for a moment, and ushers are going to help us. We want to take a love off Brother Randy. And I can't explain to you why all this has happened to him. I don't know. But I pray that God may nudge your heart. If you want to help and you could help them, it would be a blessing. And, of course, when he's not on the road, you know, there's no income. And we don't know how long this is going to be. But I want you to pray for him. Some of you may saw Facebook the other day. Pray for him and Miss Mary. I know she's got to be physically and emotionally drained. And then all the questions that arise. And you ask God to bless them. I know when Job was going through what he was going through, I'm sure there was all kind of questions racing through his mind, through his wife's mind, and all the neighbors and friends. But we just going to trust God. And I want you to be a help to Brother Randy and Miss Mary if you feel led to this morning. Of course, if you want to make a check, you make it to the church. And Brad, if you got a song on your heart by any chance, you got anything you feel like the Lord might want you to sing, ushers, you go ahead. We're going to take the offering right now. Amen. Brad, just waiting for the Lord, so we'll just wait. Amen. God bless you. Amen. Thank the Lord for you this morning. I'm looking for God to move on us. Sometimes there's a time for soberness. Sometimes there's a time for shouting. I think the shouting will come if we'll get serious with God, get everything right between our soul and the Savior. I'm believing that before it's over with, some of these papers laying up here will turn into reality, and you'll have a chance to stand and testify what God did. And I pray you'll get to do that. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you for being here today. We'll close in prayer in a few moments. Give them time to take the offering for Brother Randy and Miss Mary. And we'll just pray. And pray for Brother Jesse Brock tonight. He actually was having a Sunday off. I don't know if he takes a certain Sunday or whatever, but he was going to South Carolina to visit his family. And so he's coming back a little bit early so he can make sure he could be here. But I'm glad to appreciate him praying about it. Prayed about it for a couple of days before he let me know. But I believe God's going to bless us tonight. Come back excited, believing what God's going to do, what God's already done for you this morning, and believing what God's going to do for your friends around you. Amen. He's a great God, able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we able to ask or think. Hallelujah.